This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
All right. Bismillahi walhamdulillah, as-salatu was-salam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. How's everyone doing? Doing okay? Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. We didn't have our session like we normally do last Thursday, just because, you know, alhamdulillah, everybody was out there making snow, small people, and, you know, not enough to make an actual snowman, right? So, but everybody was enjoying a couple of days off of classes and work and whatnot. So alhamdulillah, inshallah, everyone enjoyed that. You know, you always get the rush of like, you know, even though you guys are older now, like you still get the rush of like, oh my God, like it's going to be snowing today and like all that stuff. And so as soon as we knew, we got excited, mashallah, for everybody. So alhamdulillah. So that's why we took a break last week. Inshallah, the game plan is to actually, a little bit of a small kind of announcement, is that we want to try and do soul food through Ramadan, inshallah. Because, you know, usually what we do is we do Ramadan nights in Ramadan, which is like that huge program that we have inviting guest speakers. And so we're going to pair, inshallah, that with our soul food series on Thursday. So we have a cool 1-2 punch for college students on Thursdays and Fridays. That's going to be really, really cool, inshallah. So we're looking forward to that, inshallah. Allahumma balighna Ramadan. Everyone say ameen. Everyone, Allah allow us to reach Ramadan. So we are going to be continuing on with our prophetic dua series, our prophetic prayer series. Last session that we did together, we did the dua of Prophet Adam alayhi salam, right? The dua, I like to call it the dua of accountability. The dua in Surah Al-A'raf, where Prophet Adam alayhi salam, he mentions to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are the ones who wronged ourselves, right? That we're the ones who made a mistake. And if you do not have mercy, Allah, and you do not forgive us, Ya Allah, then لَكُونَنَا مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ, then we're surely going to be in a utter loss, right? So this Thursday, we're going over another dua of a prophet, a great prophet, okay? And his story, just like I mentioned, by the way, in every dua that is ever made, right? Any dua that is made, whether it's a prophet, whether it is a regular person like you or me, the secret behind dua is that there's always a story, right? There's always a story. There's always a context as to why that dua was made and why it was made in that way, okay? And so the dua that we're going to be going through today is the dua of Prophet Musa alayhi salam. Prophet Musa alayhi salam's story is one that is mentioned in the Quran more than almost every other prophet that is mentioned. Okay, his story spans so many different surahs, so many different chapters, and there's a rightful reason as to why. There are so many elements behind his life, his childhood, his growing up as a young man, his life as a newly married, you know, person who lived in another city, then his life going back to Egypt, his life as an early prophet, his life as an elderly prophet. There were so many stages of the story of Musa alayhi salam. And so when you think about the du'as that Musa alayhi salam, he made, there are several for you to choose from. And each one of them, they have their own unique kind of approach when it comes to what is being asked of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the current state of life that that person's going through. So today, subhanAllah, the du'a that we're going to be going through is a du'a that will resonate with anyone who's ever gone through any sort of anxiety or stress, okay? It's literally the dua of stress or anxiety. Why? Because it is a time in the life of Prophet Musa alayhi salam in which he was told by Allah Ta'ala to go and approach and face Fir'aun finally after all these years of being away from him. So giving you a little bit of a context to where Musa is right now in his life. Musa alayhi salam is a fully kind of middle-aged man. He has been married now for like a decade. some of the narrations mentions that he even has children. So he's kind of like gone through like the middle stages of his life. He went and worked in a city called Midian. In the city of Midian, he was like a shepherd who took care of a flock of animals for another person. Some narrations mention that it's Prophet Shu'aib alayhi salam, another great prophet that came before Prophet Musa alayhi salam. And so some narrations hint that this man was his father-in-law even, and he actually gave one of his daughters in marriage to Musa alayhi salam. We'll talk about that whole dua, about how that came into fruition next time. But now we're going kind of backwards. So Musa's kind of accomplished all of these different things in his life. And now at this point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَهَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ مُوسَى Has the story of Musa reached you, Ya Rasulullah? Allah is talking to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One thing I want you guys to do, right, from here on out, from today, this statement in the Quran, هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ مُوسَى Has the story of Musa reached you? Okay? هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ مُوسَى That's what it translates out to. Has the story or has the account of Musa reached you? We all know that clearly, obviously, the Quran is Allah talking to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? But when it comes to you and me, when it comes to us, when we're reading through these ayat, we are reading it as though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to us. Okay? هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ مُوسَى يَا خَدِيجَ يَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ يَا بِلَالَ يَا مُحَمَّدَ Ya Aisha, you know, like, I want you to kind of translate it as that. Why? Because it makes the word of Allah that much more real for you. It's no longer kind of like this third person. You're kind of like watching a conversation between A and B. You are actually the recipient. And it makes the Quran that much more real for you. And when Allah says, هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ مُوسَى Now when you read that, you're like, oh man, like, do I know? Do I know what Musa, what happened to his life? And then you continue to read. And Allah says, in this portion of his life, إِذْ رَأَى نَارًا فَقَالَ لِأَهْلِهِ أُمْكُثُ إِنِّي أَنَسْتُ نَارًا لَعَلِّي آتِيَكُمْ مِنْهَا بِقَبَسٍ أَوْ أَجِدُ عَلَى النَّارِ هُدَى So he says that, you know, when he was traveling with his family, he was traveling at this point from Midian. Now he wants to go back to Egypt. Why did he want to go back to Egypt? Because literally some of the narrations mentioned that he missed his mother and he missed his brother. His brother Harun was still in Egypt. His mother, the mother that we all know, that famous story who floated her son down a river, right, when he was an infant. This is the same mom. And so after years of being away from his family, he missed them, right? I think we can all relate to this. These are the family you try to get away from. And you're like, oh man, I kind of miss that guy, right? Like your brother, right? Oh, I kind of miss her. She's your sister. Like you miss your parents, even being away from them for a period of time, even after complaining about how much space you need from them, you're like, I kind of miss those people, right? And Musa alayhi salam felt the same way. He wanted to go back to his home. And on the way back to his home, all of a sudden, Musa alayhi salam, he says, إِذْ رَأَى نَارًا He saw a fire. He saw a fire from a distance. And when you're traveling in the middle of the desert, and you're traveling, and some of the narrations mentioned that it was like a very cold evening. A very cold evening, and it was a difficult travel, and it was not easy. And so when he saw a fire in the distance, he saw a light in the distance, immediately he thought to himself, well, this is great for me and my family. I'm going to go see what that is. And so he says, tells his family, go stay here. I'm going to go see what this fire is all about. And I can bring you back some, you know, some firewood, or I can bring you some sort of guidance. It says here at the end, he says, عَلَى نَارِ هُدَى I can bring you back some sort of guidance from whatever I'm going to, this fire over there, okay? And so he says that when he went close, فَلَمَّا أَتَاهَا نُودِيَا يَا مُوسَى When Musa alayhi salam, he came to the fire, he was summoned, نُودِيَا يَا مُوسَى Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala summons him. This is, by the way, why Musa alayhi salam was called the one who spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the one who Allah spoke to directly, okay? He was called by Allah when he went to the side of this mountain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala literally called him, Ya Musa, okay? And subhanAllah, it's actually really, really fascinating. You can see here what Allah exactly says to him. He says, Inni ana rabbuka. فَخْلَعْنَا عَلَيْكَ إِنَّكَ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ طُوَى Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here, he says, I am your Lord, إِنِّي أَنَا رَبُّكَ I am your Lord, Ya Musa. Now, you want to know something fascinating? So some people were wondering, they're like, well, you know, if Allah is speaking to Musa, what does that sound like? You know? You ever thought of these? Like, when you're reading Quran, you hear that Allah is speaking to a messenger, speaking to a prophet. What does that sound like? Is that like an intercom? Is that like a Lord Voldemort situation in Hogwarts in the seventh movie? Like, what is it, right? Like, how does that sound? And subhanAllah, some of the narrations mention that instead of Musa hearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his ears, he said that he felt him from every possible feeling. So it almost resonated with Musa on a divine level that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was speaking with him. And, you know, there's a narration that mentions that Musa alayhi salam, he called out to Allah, Ya Allah, are you speaking to me through a medium? Like who? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given the Quran, who was the medium? It was Jibreel alayhi salam, right? He was giving the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Quran, and he was giving it through Jibreel alayhi salam. And so Musa asked, Ya Allah, are you giving me this message through an angel of yours? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, Musa, it's just me and you. It's just me and you. I want you to think about what the loftiness of that moment must have felt like. You're like, is this through like another messenger? You know when you receive like a text and it's kind of like ChatGPT a little bit, right? Like, you know, it's not personal. It's like, it's gone through like four different like kind of ways to filter it. And then it got to you. And then you see a text message. This is like, that person just typed it up. I know they did. I saw the little kind of icon of the three dots popping up. You Android users, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relieve you of your punishment. Like, you don't know what that feels like, okay? When us iPhone messengers, you know, we see that. You see the three dots, you know, you see that person's replying to you right away. It's like, you know, there's a personal touch to it. And so Allah says, no, Musa, I'm speaking to you directly. And so he says, inni ana rabbuka. Take off your shoes, Ya Musa. Innaka bilwadi al-muqaddasi tuwa. You are in the holy valley, the sacred valley of this place called Tuwa. By the way, there are a few locations in this earth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sanctified. We know the Haram of Mecca, the Haram of Medina, the Haram of Quds, and also now we know the Haram of this Tuwa, this area called Tuwa, right? And specifically in this area, this valley, there's a mountain called Sinai, right? And this is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to Musa. And then he says to him, he says, وَأَنَخْتَرُتُكَ فَاسْتَمِعْ لِمَا يُوحَى. He says, I have chosen you, Ya Musa. This is the first time where Allah ta'ala is giving Musa direct intel that he's being chosen for prophethood. He's being chosen for prophethood. He is being selected by Allah that you are going to be serving me as a messenger and a prophet of mine. And he says here, فَاسْتَمِعْ لِمَا يُوحَى. So listen to what is being revealed to you. فَاسْتَمِعْ لِمَا يُوحَى. Now, I want you guys to think about something. فَاسْتَمِعْ لِمَا يُوحَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, I want you to listen to what is being revealed. The way that I want you guys to think about this command is, how do you react when you hear the word of Allah? Okay? Fastamir. Listen, this is a command of Allah. When the Quran is being played, listen to it. Lima yuha. You know, there's like this conversation of like, just playing Quran in the background. You know, it's just nice. You know, like we're kind of like talking it up and hanging out. We might be playing like a board game and there's just Quran in the back. Mishari, you know, Min Rashid al-Afasi is reciting in the back. You know, Sheikh Yasser Dosuri is reciting in the back that famous TikTok Quran verse that everyone uses as a sound for some reason, right? It's become a thing. Being banned all of a sudden, right? Like, so, you know, we almost try to like use it as a background, like, oh yeah, it's just fine, let's play in the background. But subhanAllah, the command of Allah is fastami' lima yuha. Listen to what is being revealed. It's not just anything that we're telling you to listen to. Fastami' lima yuha. It's a revelation. It's not just something that anybody can tell you. It's not something, and I need you guys to kind of internalize this. Sometimes when we think about listening to Quran, we've started to kind of culturally, traditionally kind of, we start to think of it as like, oh, it's just reading from a book, right? But then you realize when you're reading the Arabic from the Quran, you're actually reading the word of God. And it kind of hits you all of a sudden. Like when you recite, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, you're not just reciting some random like verse that some random person wrote. Alif Lam Mim, Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbin Nas. Like, these are not just random ayat. They are literally the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you recite them, the way that we pay attention to it, it's as though nothing else in the world matters at that moment. And if we have to do something else, then do yourself a favor and pause it. It's not good to kind of like double up on Quran like that. Like, yeah, I'm just gonna like knock out this phone call, and in the background, I'm just gonna be like kind of playing the Quran on my phone. Like, no. Don't do that. Why? Because it's not like other things that you can multitask, right? You can sometimes multitask other things. You can like listen to a podcast, and like it's like your eighth hour listening to Joe Rogan. Like you heard that dude yap on his like 3 hour episodes of his podcast. Like it's not like that. This is Quran. We want to make sure that we do it justice, right? So fastami' lima yuha. And then Allah says, innani ana Allahu la ilaha illa ana fa'budni wa aqim as-salata li dhikri. He says, I am Allah, I am God, and there's no other God except me. Fa'budni, so worship me. Wa aqim as-salata li dhikri, and establish prayer li dhikri. What does that mean? Pray so that you can remember me. What is salah supposed to be? It's a form of remembrance. That's the way you re-tie yourself, you tether yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes, subhanAllah, people, they ask questions like, man, I feel distant from God. I feel distant from Allah. I feel so far away from my spirituality. How do I get that back? How do I kind of reconnect with that? If the answer isn't five times a day, then we're missing the actual diagnosis. Like you're taking like pain medication for like a bacterial infection. You're just kind of like scratching the surface of a symptom. You're actually not getting to the bottom of it. You're not taking your antibiotics. You're not taking the actual thing that will kill the bacteria within your body. You're just taking the thing that will kind of suppress the pain. So when a person says like, yeah, I want to get in tune with Allah. I want to become more in line with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What can I do? I'll tell you what, I'm 100% being honest with you guys. You can listen to as many podcasts as you want. You can listen to as many lectures as you want. You can scroll on as many motivational TikTok videos as you want. But unless at the end of that video or at the end of that podcast, you stop, you put your phone down, and you pray to Allah, there will be no significant change. These are all just means to get to an end. The end has to be your salah. There is nothing. Because guess what? When you're watching that video of Sheikh Omar, no matter how amazing he is, right? It's Sheikh Omar trying to motivate you. When you step up on the musalla and you're praying to Allah directly, it's you and Allah alone. Just like when Musa asked Allah, Allah, is this you and me, or is this you, me, and then someone else in between? Allah would tell you, no. Khadija, Aisha, it's just you and me. And there will be nothing that replaces that experience. And when a person accepts that, وَأَقِيمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِ, they understand that prayer goes from being a burden and it becomes almost a priceless form of therapy for them. I cannot miss my prayer. Why? Because if I don't pray, the rest of my day gets thrown off. It no longer is a task I have to check off on my list. Rather, everything else is a task I have to check off on my list. And my prayer is my therapy. My prayer, my asr, my dhuhr, my fajr, my maghrib, my isha, those are my things that I look forward to in my day. I can't wait to be done with class so I can go do my asr real quick. I can't wait to be, you know, done with my kind of hangout so I can go and I can pray isha. Better yet, pray isha with my friends. This is what salat becomes, lidhikri. It becomes a form of remembrance, okay? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues on and he says to Prophet Musa alayhi salam that in the sa'a, he says that it's going to come, the hour is going to come, though I keep it hidden. Akadu ukhfiha. I protect it, I keep it hidden from everybody. Okay? He says, لِتُجْزَى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا تَسْعَى. He says, for each soul will be rewarded for بِمَا تَسْعَى, for what it did, for what it worked. Okay? And so Allah continues and he says, Ya Musa, do not let anyone who does not believe in it and follows his own desires distract you from it and so bring you to your own ruin. What an amazing advice from Allah. He says to Musa, Ya Musa, do not let anyone who does not believe in it allow it to drag you down and cause you distraction yourself. If you have people around you doing whatever they're doing, Don't think that you also have to be distracted. You have your goal. You have your objective, and your objective must be met, ya Musa. You're not like everybody else. You're different than everybody else. If everybody else in the world walks one direction, are you just going to walk in that direction because that's what everybody else is doing? Or do you have your own personal goals in life? What did I tell you guys about the crux of this dua is going to be? It's about stress and anxiety. It's about someone who thinks that this task in front of me is too large for me. But Allah begins even this interaction with, ya Musa, don't allow yourself to be distracted. Sometimes our anxieties are moments in which we allow ourselves to get distracted by things that do not matter to us. My anxiety is about what? What might they think? My anxiety is about what? Oh, am I going to be able to? No. Don't think about that. Think about what Allah has tasked you with. Allah has given you a task, a goal. Now work towards it. Don't let the people around you that are distracted, don't let them bring you down. There's a common question, by the way, in a lot of college settings about, you know, what do I do if, like, I'm trying to get on my deen, I'm trying to kind of, you know, be better with Allah, but I have friends around me that sometimes kind of challenges that they challenge that kind of that himma, that desire in me to get close to Allah. Like, what do I do if I have friends that are trying to take me away from that? And I tell people all the time, I said, look, a person at the end of the day, on the day of judgment, Allah will not ask you if you saved every friend of yours. And I know, as harsh as that sounds, because a lot of us, like, I know people in here where a lot of us are people who like to kind of help and save other people. Like, no, I want you to come with me. I want you to do this with me. And although that is a great intention, it is a great intention for your friends, for your family, whoever it may be, at the end of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask you, did you do it? And if you didn't do it, then what was the point of you trying to kind of gather all the other people around you to do it? I always have this statement, and it's thrown around with a lot of my kind of circles of friends and teachers, where we say that a person who is malnourished cannot nourish other people. If you want to nourish other people around you, you have to have a constant source of nourishment yourself. If I'm getting distracted by the people around me, how am I supposed to even help them? I have to be super solid, super locked in on what my objective is. And then I can start guiding other people. Because I know that even if there are distractions from them, I'm not going to be swayed away. Okay? And so then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in verse number 17 begins to kind of show Musa alayhi salam these signs and miracles. He says, وَمَا تِلْكَ بِيَمِينِكَ يَا مُوسَى. He says, Ya Musa, what's in your right hand? بِيَمِينِكَ يَا مُوسَى. What's in your right hand? And Musa alayhi salam, and subhanahu, look at how, like, conversational, like, the rhetoric between creator and creation is, right? Allah's literally talking to Musa. Hey Musa, what's in your right hand? Can you imagine, like, Allah just asks you, like, you have, like, a weird, like, matcha strawberry hybrid, right? Like, whatever you guys order. Like, you have it in your... Allah's like, yeah, what's in your right hand? Tilka bi yaminika. What's in your right hand? And Musa at that time used to hold a staff. So he says, qala hiya asa. He says, this is my staff. He says, this is my staff. And sometimes I use it to lean on it. Sometimes I use it to help me with my... He says, ala ghanami. With my cattle and my animals. And also, I have other uses for it, ya Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, قَالَ أَلْقِهَا يَا مُوسَى. He says, throw it down, Musa. And Musa alayhi salam, he throws it down, and we see the famous narration, the miracle, that it becomes like a snake that's moving in the desert. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, قَالَ خُذْهَا. He says, pick it up, ya Musa. Pick it up. وَلَا تَخَفْ. And don't be scared. Subhanallah. I want you guys to think about something in your life, right? Sometimes there are moments in which you know what is right and what is wrong. Sometimes in life you know what is right and what is wrong. But sometimes there is a fear of doing the right thing. There's a fear. I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I'm cut out for this. I don't know, like, you know, if this is the right decision. I think it's the right decision. I don't know what the repercussions are going to be if I make this decision. At this point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling Musa, Ya Musa, pick it up, wala takhaf, and do not be scared. When you make a decision with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in mind, I want you guys to know something. You will never be disappointed when you look back at it. I'll tell you what is a disappointing situation. When a person does make a decision without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in mind, and then they go back and think about it. And they think to themselves, like, should I really have done that? Should I have put more thought into what Allah would say about this? Those are the regrettable moments. But never has a person made a right decision with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in mind and they go back and they regret it. Why? Because even if that good decision brought about some dunyawi challenges, those dunyawi challenges, wallahi, they probably brought about more good than harm. They probably brought about more good than harm. Look at the example of last week with Prophet Adam alayhi salam. He told Allah, Ya Allah, I made the mistake. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا. So he makes this dua. And everybody's like, man, now he got kicked out of heaven. Now he's on earth. Like, great. Like, what does your honesty do, man? Like, should have just kind of been quiet and just be like, yeah, you know, wasn't me, right? Shaitan did it. He was honest, told the truth, and Allah sent him down to the dunya. But even then, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala label him as? A prophet. Allah labeled him as a prophet because of that honesty. So yeah, sometimes your right decisions may come with certain repercussions. Like, right, like if you like do something that your parents specifically said not to do, and you go back home and you're like, your mom's like, Brita, why? And you're like, let me tell you honestly, right? Like, and your mom still gets angry. You're like, wait, I told the truth. Why are you angry? Right? No. Truth doesn't mean that your people aren't gonna be angry at you. Truth means that you're going to be okay within your heart for yourself. The anger of others will go away after a while. They'll be extinguished after a while. But what is not extinguished, I'll tell you guys, is the guilt of a person knowing that they disappointed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That stays with people until the end of their life. Okay? And so he tells Musa to pick up the staff, and he says that we'll return it to its original state. And then he says, now place your hand, Ya Musa, under your arm, and it will come out glowing white. Bayda'a. Min ghayri su'in, without any sort of harm, okay? And he says, ayatan ukhra, and this is another sign, the second sign for me, Ya Musa. And so he says, we do this to show you some of our greatest signs, Ya Musa. I'm giving you some miracles, Ya Musa, so I can lead you to this command in verse 24. And what's the command? This is it. He says, idhhab ila fir'auna innahu tagha. He says, now go to Pharaoh. Innahu tagha. Indeed, he has become a person who has absolutely lost his mind in tyranny. Now, I want you guys, how many of you guys, raise of hands, have ever been given a seemingly impossible task in their life? Like, you just thought you couldn't do it. Anybody in here? Be honest, don't lie to me. There's no point lying to me. I'm not going to check up on you. But like, I'm like, hey, remember that you lied? No. Like, think about, subhanAllah, was there a task given to you in your life where you felt it was almost like, I can't overcome this. Like, this isn't, I'm not cut out for this. It's not gonna happen, right? Like, it's for some of y'all, it's medical school. You guys are like in like year two, and like, you know, you're like, oh God, this is the worst. I don't know how I'm gonna do this. Some of y'all signed up and you got into SMU somehow, some way, and now you're like, what the, I'm definitely not cut out for this. And then some of you, you know, like, so there's so many things, right? Like, I don't know if I'm cut out for this. I don't know if I'm good for this. At this point, Allah says, idhhab ila fir'aun, ya Musa. Go towards Pharaoh, ya Musa. Go and correct him. Now, a little bit of a background, who Fir'aun actually is to Musa alayhi salam. Fir'aun was the same man who wanted to, in the beginning, kill Musa because he was an infant boy. Remember this, right? And then Fir'aun became who to Musa? He almost became like a stepfather to him. Because his wife Asiya picked Musa up from the river. And she took care of him. And she nourished him. And she raised him. So Musa grew up in the house of Fir'aun. And then what did Fir'aun become? Fir'aun then became the man who was hunting Musa alayhi salam down. After Musa tried to separate a fight between two people in Egypt. And he was trying to hunt him down so he could get rid of him, so he could execute him. So Musa's relationship with Pharaoh is very complicated. Y'all ever had a complicated relationship? Halal one? Not a haram one. I don't care about that one. Like a halal relationship that was complicated? Like, think about it. It's not easy, right? You're like, yeah, that one time. Like, no, I don't want to hear about that one. That one you can keep to your TikTok. No, I don't care about that. So like, you know, there are complications in a lot of relationships, right? I mean, think about even family, man. Think about family. Family's complicated, right? Mothers and children, fathers, children, siblings, grandparents, uncles. Like, this is all complicated stuff sometimes. And Fir'aun was the same exact kind of peace for Musa is complication. And he knows, well, the last time I saw this guy, he was going to try to kill me. And so now you want me to go and you want me to confront him? اذهب إلى فرعون يا موسى إنه طغى, that he's become like a tyrant. What am I supposed to do? Who am I? I'm like this average Joe. I can't do anything about this, right? Isn't this a thought that crosses so many humans' minds? What am I supposed to do? Subhanallah, look at the ceasefire of Palestine, right? How many people, 20 weeks ago, 30 weeks ago, a few months ago, yeah, it's never going to happen. And although, subhanAllah, a ceasefire from, you know, unfortunately from the Zionists doesn't mean much, but inshallah, we can make dua, continue to make dua, continue to raise awareness and hope and pray that things will end up becoming better than they were, right? But how many people lost hope? There were literally people, subhanAllah, and I wish I was making this up, by the way, there were literally people in the past 2 years that came up to me and they're like, yeah, I've like gave up praying because I just don't feel like it's going to work anymore because look at what's happening in Gaza. And only if you held out for a little bit longer. Only if you held out for a little bit longer. Maybe something beautiful will come out of this. Bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, right? That like Gaza will be rebuilt and Gaza will be a free place. Gaza will be a place where homes are rebuilt and families are reunited. That's their dream. That's the prayer of all of us. Never give up on that. And think about the person who says, well, what am I going to do, right? What role am I going to play? Maybe it was your dua that caused that ceasefire. Seriously. Maybe it was the random Muslim in Saxey, Texas. Right? Sounds kind of funny. Maybe it was like the random Muslim in like Waxahachie. I don't know. Like, who knows? It's deep for you guys. That's something in Waxahachie from here. So like, you know, it could be something so random that you don't think is anything plausible, but subhanAllah, it's because of your tenacity and your willingness to continue your prayers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did something. Maybe it was because you went and spoke to a few friends. Maybe it was because you went to your college and you raised awareness about what's going on in Palestine that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with a little bit of relief after such horrible torment. And so Musa alayhi salam, he says, like, what am I supposed to do with this? How am I supposed to even combat this? And so now we, inshallah, turn to the dua of Prophet Musa alayhi salam, inshallah. So we'll go through this one by one because the dua itself is absolutely phenomenally beautiful, okay? So Musa alayhi salam, he begins his dua. And this dua, by the way, is, and don't get it like kind of, you know, don't get intimidated by this. It is 10 verses, but the 10 verses are like small little half-liners, right? So it's very easy to kind of go through and read. So Musa begins. After Allah says, O Musa, go towards Fir'aun, Musa begins. And he says, قَالَ رَبِّ اشْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي. Okay? He says, قَالَ رَبِّ, O Allah, my Allah, اشْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي. He says, O Allah, expand, اشْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي. Expand my chest. Expand the bravery within my heart. اشرح لي صدري. By the way, you know, there's another surah in the Quran that talks about this when it comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? Alam nashrah laka sadrak wa wada'na 'anka wizrak walladhi anqadha dhahrak, right? Alladhi anqadha dhahrak wa rafa'na laka dhikrak. So that surah as well, Allah talks about alam nashrah laka sadrak. Have we not expanded your chest, ya Rasulullah? What is اشرح لي صدري mean? What does this mean? It means that Musa alayhi salam is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him the capacity to be able to do what he's asking him to do. Ishrah, like, open it up for me. Li sadri, open up for me my chest. Guys, how many of you guys believe in this statement? If there's a will, there's a way. You guys believe in this? Subhanallah. I have seen people who are like, nah, it's not going to happen. It's not possible. I can't. Like, and if there is a will, oh my gosh, subhanAllah, that person becomes like the most committed human being of all time. Out of nowhere. I'll tell you guys what. Two things. If you can do this, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open up avenues. Number one is if there's a will, there's a way. And number two is if that will makes you make dua. If that will facilitates for you dua. If you can have those two things, your will, your tenacity, your want of something, and if that want of something promotes you to make dua. If you can do those two things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open up avenues for you that you never thought were possible. So he tells Allah, "Oh Allah, expand my chest." And not just expand my chest to bravery, but expand my chest to contain the message that you want me to give to the Pharaoh, right? How many of you guys, subhanAllah, like a night before like an insane exam, you're like, there is no way I'm memorizing even like a quarter of the study guide. You're like, I am fried. Like there's like 80 questions on the study guide. I think I memorized like 12. How am I supposed to do this? And you make dua. Anybody have that miraculous kind of experience of like waking up the next morning and for some reason remembering things from last night? It's weird. Like last night you studied for like 4 hours and you got nothing. It's like a net zero. Then you wake up the next morning, you're like, wait a second. What? The mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell? Like, you're like you just remember, right? Like all of a sudden, it just comes to you, right? Guys, subhanAllah, this is a proof of a person who is wanting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help them and asking for it. So Musa, he says, Rabbi shrahli sadri. Oh Allah, open my chest, open my heart, open my ability, my capability, my capacity. Okay? Then he says, Wa yassir li amri. And make easy for me the task that you gave me, the command that you gave me. Wa yassir li amri. Okay? What is yassir li amri? Yassir li means to make easy for me. Can I tell you guys something honestly? There is a misunderstanding that in order to be more religiously sound, you always have to take the harder route. Oh, I'll take the harder route. I don't want ease, I want difficulty. And there's a misunderstanding that some people actually think that the more difficulty you go through, the more inherently religious that you are. And in fact, this is not true. This is not true. How many of you guys have ever made dua for like shifa, like health and wellness, right? Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afiya. Oh, you ask Allah for afiya. You know what afiya is? Afiya is complete wellness in every regard. You don't ask Allah for like subpar. You ask Allah for the best. Why? There's a narration that mentions that when a person asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for ease because Allah can make the most difficult things easy. So if you don't ask Allah for ease, then you're actually thinking in your mind that Allah is not capable, a'udhu billah, of making something difficult easy for me. When in fact, He absolutely is. So there's nothing glory, there's nothing glorified about this idea of like, yeah, I'm gonna take the harder route. No. Ask Allah to make it easy. Don't tell Allah, oh Allah, you know, make this taraweeh 20 rak'at. I need it to be difficult on me. No. Ask Allah for it to be easy on you. It can be enjoyable, but it does not have to break you, right? Make it easy for you. Don't make it difficult for you. And Musa alayhi salam, he asked it, make this task easy. What's the task? The task is going up to Fir'aun. That's not easy, by the way. And Musa's asking, Ya Allah, make this easy for me. Because you know that this is inherently difficult, Ya Allah. And you know it's difficult, but Ya Allah, you're the one that can cause ease to take over my life, and I ask you for that ease. When you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for shifa or afiyah, you're not asking Allah, oh Allah, I have like 103 degree fever. Can you like lessen it to like 101? Like I'm like dying, but like maybe like not dying, but like a little bit dying. Like, can you do that? No. Ask Him for complete shifa. Shifa kamilan, perfect shifa. Why? Because Allah is capable of giving you perfect health. So ask Allah for perfection. You know another proof of this, by the way? Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana. When you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're saying, oh Allah, I ask you for the best of the dunya and the best of the akhirah. Why don't you ask for something that's like super mid? Because you know Allah is capable of giving you perfection. So ask Allah for that perfection, okay? وَيَسِلْ لِي أَمْرِي. And then he says, وَحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِنْ لِسَانِي. He says, and untie. This is a very poetic verse, by the way. وَحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِنْ لِسَانِي. Untie the knot that is in my tongue. وَحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِنْ لِسَانِي. Now this is an incredible, incredible verse. Musa refers to a knot in his tongue. This, by the way, subhanAllah, a lot of times in the Quran, you'll see kind of like metaphorical, spiritual analogies that are made. This particular part of the dua was quite literally for Musa something that was a little bit physical as well. Because in a lot of prophetic narrations, it is mentioned that Nabi Musa alayhi salam, he had a challenge with his speech, like physically. He was not able to speak in a very like kind of cohesive, very coherent manner. He always had trouble getting his words together, especially when he was nervous. Man, y'all like, I'm a little bit of Musa myself, right? Like, I've had that before. Like, I thought I had it in the bag, and all of a sudden I got in front of people, and I'm like, Aqim as-salah, right? Like, you ended that khutbah within 3 seconds. Like, subhanAllah, and I want you to think to yourself, something profound. Musa, one of the greatest prophets that this earth has ever seen, struggled with speech. You know, when we think about like religiosity, we think about like, man, that person's like bars are like unparalleled. Like they drop this and that and this. Oh my God, it's amazing. Like they have no trouble in their life with anything they say or like gems. Musa alayhi salam literally asks Allah, wahlul 'uqdatan min lisan. Untie the knot that's in my tongue, because when I get stressed and when I get scared, I'm not able to verbally transmit what I want to say. He's asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this. But why? SubhanAllah, now check this out. The second part of this ayah is what I like to call the check of sincerity. وَحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِّن لِسَانِي يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي, so that they may understand what I say. Musa didn't say وَحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِّن لِسَانِي so that it looks good on that Instagram reel, man. Like right there. So that like when that person captures it, it looks good. So that when that person talks about me, they say, wow, what an amazing speaker. What an amazing orator. No, he says, يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي, so that they understand what I'm trying to say to them. I need this not to be untied, because my objective is to complete what Allah has tasked me with. That's why I'm doing it. I'm not doing it for any other reason. When it comes to y'all's tasks, I want you guys to think about this. When it comes to y'all's tasks, is it just that, oh, you know what, like I'm trying to get it over with, I'm trying to, you know, just get this done, and I'm trying to get this, you know, checked off of my checklist, and so I can kind of tell people that I did this? If that's the case, Allah will not make it easy for you. Ease, subhanAllah. Hamza, why'd you do that? I'm just kidding. He's just the easiest person to blame because he's like 6'8". You know, subhanAllah, you know, am I doing this for a sincere purpose? Because if you're doing it sincerely for a sincere purpose, I'll tell you what, Allah will make each and every one of your tasks easy. If you tell Allah, Allah, I want to go to roots to learn, to, you know, see friends and pray with them and have a good evening of sahbah and companionship, oh, Allah will make it easy for you. If you're on the way to roots, you're like, hey, yeah, I'm going to kind of like go ahead and get like my little Instagram like thing up for the week, and like, wallah, you'll hit every red light. I'm telling you, right now, it's going to happen, right? Allah will make it impossible for you to get there. So purify the intention, and Allah will cause ease for you of whatever roadblocks that you see. And then he says, وَجَعَلِّي وَزِيرًا, he says, مِنْ أَهْلِي, give me a helper, مِنْ أَهْلِي, from my family. Who's that helper? He says, Harun akhi, my brother Harun. What does this mean? What does this translate to? This translates to, sometimes you're not going to be able to do your tasks on your own. Sometimes I need help. How many of us, be honest with yourselves, how many of us have a hard time reaching out for help? Nah, I'm going to get this myself, I think. I'm just going to figure it out, right? Like, guys, I'm telling you something right now. There is a fine line between being resourceful and being like self-sabotaging. Like, yes, it's a great skill to be resourceful, to figure it out on your own, to learn it on your own. Don't be that one person who's like, so, like, how do you do that, right? You're like, well, you can probably just look it up on the internet and kind of figure it out to a certain degree, right? And then there's another person who's like, yeah, I'm just gonna do it on my own to the point where, like, I just do everything wrong. I'm never going to ask for help. This right here is the perfect balance in between. What does Musa ask for? He asked for help for himself. رَبِّ شْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي وَيَسِلْ لِي أَمْرِي وَحْلُ الْأُقْدَةً مِنْ لِسَانِي يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي وَجَعَلْنِي وَزِيرًا مِّنْ أَهْلِي. After all that I asked for myself, now Allah, I ask you for support. Because sometimes I won't be able to do it myself. I know that I'll need a support system. I know that I'll need somebody that can help me when I'm not at my best. A good friend, guys, waziran, a good friend is a person who is there for you when you're not at your best. They'll be able to lift you up. They'll be able to carry you when you need to be carried. And when they need to be carried, you will be there for them. This is what waziran is. A person who can support you. A person who can be there for you, and you guys perform as a team in a beautiful manner. Whereas individually, you guys would not perform as well. Because individually, sometimes when I'm like, no, man, I'm on my own, you're on your own, we let ego get in the way. But subhanAllah, when it comes to this deen, there is no like ISO ball. Just get the rebound, man. No. Get other people to come. Do a jama'ah. Get together. Pray together. When you come to Roots, when you go to Qalam, when you go to VRIC, go together, go with people. There'll be some times where you have to go by yourself because nobody's answering their phone. Nobody likes you right now, okay? It's okay. You'll go by yourself sometimes, but don't make solo like mentality just like the end-all, be-all. Ask for help sometimes when you need it, okay? Haruna akhi, and he says, Harun is my brother who I want, okay? And he says about Harun specifically, increase my strength with him, okay? Wa ashdud bihi azri, make me stronger because of him. Subhanallah, man. Good friends will always realize that you are never going to be diminished by your friend's strengths. When you feel like your friend has like strengths and you're a little bit kind of like weird by that, wallahi, there's a lot of like work that you have to do within your heart. Because now you're threatened by what that person's good at. And that's not friendship. That's called jealousy. Musa alayhi salam, he says, Allah, you've handed me this task, but I need my brother with me. Because my brother can fill in spots for me that I am actually not the best in. And he actually mentions later that Harun is the one who's better in speech than he is. So Harun can speak for me when I get like stressed. Harun can like kind of he can catch my words, but I don't have any words to say. Okay? And then he says here that we may glorify you. Okay? Nusabbihak kathir. So that we may glorify you more. Okay? Wanadhkuruk kathiran. And so we may be remembering you more. Okay? Innaka kunta bina basir. He says that you are of us ever seeing and ever watching, Ya Allah. Okay? This is the end of the dua of Prophet Musa alayhi salam. So a couple of lessons I want to end, inshallah, with everybody with today, inshallah. So number one, we talked about this, is that even the prophets of Allah were tested with worry and stress sometimes in their life. Don't think of yourself that, you know, because I am a stressed person, a person that sometimes has anxiety, that has thoughts that are sometimes crippling and difficult, don't think that automatically makes you a bad Muslim. That has nothing to do with it, actually. Musa alayhi salam had these thoughts. How am I going to face Fir'aun? How am I going to kind of approach him and confront him about all the wrongs that he's committing? Even the prophets had these thoughts. How am I going to do this? What is the difference? The difference in people who have anxiety that choose not to do anything about it versus a prophet who has stress but chooses to do something about it, is that the Prophet will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that help. If you want help from Allah, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that help. Don't shy away. You're not asking a person, you're asking the divine, okay? So don't think that, oh, just because you have stress, that automatically you disqualify yourself as a person who is spiritually in tune. Number two is that if there is a worry in life, ask the only one that has the ability to relieve you from that worry. We sometimes seek therapy in places that will not give us the ultimate fruits of that therapy. We reach out to friends, and alhamdulillah, our friends are great. And inshallah, if we go to like actual therapy, it's beneficial. But they can never be replacing the therapy that you do when it comes to your relationship with Allah. You have to ask Allah to relieve you from the stresses in your life. And be as specific as you can. Lesson number three, admit which places you may be struggling in. وَحْلُ الْعُقْدَةً مِنْ لِسَانِي. How do you think it was easy for Musa alayhi salam to admit to Allah that his tongue gets tied when he gets nervous? No, of course, this is not easy. To admit any sort of deficiency is not easy. But it must be done if we want to improve. If we act like we're already perfect people, then what is there to admit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we need from Him? So admit to Allah, go to Allah broken, cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tell Allah, Ya Allah, I struggle. I struggle with lying. I struggle with backbiting. I struggle with slander. I struggle with looking at things that I shouldn't be looking at. Ya Allah, I struggle with cursing and using profanity. Allah, I struggle with all of these different things. Ya Allah, I struggle with my salah. I struggle with laziness. I struggle with so many of these different things. I struggle with anger and jealousy. I struggle with all of these diseases of the heart. If you don't admit those struggles, then how can we ever begin to take the first step into recovering from them? We have to admit. And the beauty of all of this admitting is that there is no stress related to it because you're not admitting to a person. You're not admitting to a person that can judge you in the dunya. Wow, I didn't know that person had problems with lying, or I don't know that person struggled with jealousy and anger, and I don't know that person that has a challenge with backbiting. No, you're not admitting this to a person, you're admitting this to Allah. And if you admit it to Allah, what is the assumption of Allah's knowledge? He already knows about it. So the admitting for you is more about you admitting it. Can I lower my ego enough to admit it? وَحْلُ الْعُقْدَةً مِّن لِسَانِي But Allah, I'm telling you, why? يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي As Musa says, so they may understand what I say. So for you, it has to be sincere. Allah, I want to really kind of push away my jealousy and my anger. Why? Because Allah, I know that these traits are not beloved to you, Ya Allah. They are ruining relationships in my life, Ya Allah. With your help, Ya Allah, رَبِّ اشْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي Expand my chest. Allow goodness to enter my heart and allow evil and vices to leave and exit from the heart that you've given me. And then the last couple, inshallah, that we'll go through is ask Allah for strength through others. Others may be able to help where you fall short, right? Don't ever hesitate to ask for help. Allah Ta'ala has given you people in your life so that you may ask for that help. You know that friend that you have? That friend is not just like for kicks and giggles, right? Like, sure, it's fun to send them Instagram reels here and there, but like, that person's more than that. That person's there for a profound divine reason to learn from them, to be with them, to benefit from them, and for them to also benefit from you. And then the last is, understand that praising Allah and glorifying Allah is most imperative, especially after relief comes when most forget Him. At the end of Prophet Musa's dua, what is the last thing that he says? So that نُسَبِّحَكْ كَثِيرًا So that we may be able to glorify you abundantly. وَنَذْكُرَكْ كَثِيرًا So that we may remember you abundantly. Usually when Allah delivers people from their challenges, that's the moment that the majority forget Him. But the few who are special will never forget Allah listened to my dua and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered my dua and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped me in a time where I thought I was unhelpable. And Allah saved me at that moment. So I will never forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I will never forget to praise Him even after I'm through some of the challenges that I've had in my life. Okay? Inshallah, that is the chapter of the dua of Prophet Musa alayhi salam at this time. Okay? So inshallah, we'll pause there and we will pick up next Thursday bidhnillahi ta'ala. One small announcement, inshallah. We're going to start ramping up some of the college programming at Roots very soon, inshallah. We have a couple of visits to UTD coming up, inshallah, in February. I'll be going there myself, bidhnillah. Also, we're trying to kind of roll out some more social programs for college students. So inshallah, this coming Saturday, we have like a basketball open gym, hour and a half for brothers. Inshallah, this coming Saturday, it's a school in Frisco. It's on the Roots Instagram page already. So if you haven't seen it, you want to come ball, inshallah, please do that. It'll be from 10:30 a.m. to 12, so noon on Saturday. You're more than welcome to come, inshallah. It's free, so y'all can just come and kind of hoop and hang out, inshallah. For sisters, we're going to be doing something really cool, inshallah, for college sisters only in February. We're going to be doing like an arts night, inshallah, in February. So we're going to be having like a lead go through some kind of like really cool techniques of art. It's mostly going to be kind of like using like watercolor and canvas. So inshallah, it's going to be a bunch of that. We're going to be doing that. Not all of you guys getting excited about your watercolor vela hijabs, but you guys, inshallah. I saw that person in the back. She's like, oh my God, I'm making my hijabs from now on. So that's going to happen, inshallah. In February. So look out for that, inshallah, on the calendar, on the graphics, soon on Instagram. You guys will be able to access that, inshallah. Okay? All right, guys. Jazakumullah khairan. We'll, inshallah, go over to the masjid to pray Isha. We'll see you guys, inshallah, next Thursday. Assalamu alaikum. Oh, sorry. By the way, we have a college semester kickoff this Saturday. So inshallah, come through. We have like a Q&A session planned out. We're going to invite some people to speak, inshallah. So that'll be Saturday evening from 7 to 8. Same time as Soul Food, inshallah, but it'll be on Saturday, inshallah. We'll see.